verse 17. Second book of Samuel, chapter 1, and verse 17. And David lamented this lamentation over Saul, over Jonathan his son. And he bade them teach the children of Judah the use of the bow. Behold, it is written in the book of Jasher, the beauty of Israel is slain upon thy high places. How are the mighty fallen? Tell it not in Gath, publish it not in the streets of Ashkelon, lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice, lest the daughters of the uncircumcised triumph, ye mountains of Gilboa. Let there be no dew, neither let there be rain upon you, nor fields of offerings. For there the shield of the mighty is vilely cast away. The shield of Saul is doing had not been anointed with oil. From the blood of the slain, from the fat of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan turns not back. The sword of Saul returned not empty. Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their lives, and in their death they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. The daughters of Israel weep over Saul, who clothed you in scarlet with other delights, who put an ornament of gold upon your apparel. How are the mighty fallen in the midst of the battle? O Jonathan, thou wast slain in thy high places. I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love to me was wonderful. Hast thou the love of women? How are the mighty fallen? And the weapons of war perished. I have no intentions of standing on this platform tonight. But the previous speaker has presented to us a challenge from the Word of God. And I am perfectly convinced myself, and has rightly divided the word of truth. And I turn to this passage just to occupy you a little with it in the light of what has been said by the previous speaker. I don't know what you would call it, whether you would call it a postscript, or a little bit added, if you like, to use simple words, to the whole of the book, the previous book, the first book of Samuel. It is divided in three. It is divided by these words, a question. And there's an answer to that question. How are the mighty fallen? And the weapons of war perished. There is an answer. Scripture itself gives the answer. The first book Oh, Samuel gives the answer to the question. It is divided in three. The first part deals with the people. The second part deals with the monarch. And the third part deals with the one who David calls my brother. My brother. We know the history and the sad end depicted in the previous book of what happened on the mountains of Gilboa. The children, the nation, followed the wrong man. They followed the wrong man. Not only did they follow him, they chose him, the children. And it ended in a debacle on the mountains of Gilboa. They profited, no doubt, under the hand of Saul. There were those who profited, and there were those who lost under his hand. And so there was much to weep about the man who had clothed them in scarlet and with other delights. Weep over Saul, much to weep about, when he had gone. You might say, in some respects, there was little to follow in him morally. But they wanted a man. They were set upon a man. And God gave them a man in his anger. And he took him away in his wrath. That's the beginning. And that's the end of the monarch. As Scripture outlines it briefly in the Minor Prophets, God gave them a king in his anger. He was the king, Jehovah was the monarch. But they wished to delight the nations, to have a monarch, and God gave them what they wanted. You know, that's what sometimes happens if we are set upon things. God gave them the desire of their heart. Aye, but there's another side to it, is there? He sent leanness into their souls, so they were quite happy to follow Saul. And it ended on the mountains of Gilboa. How have the mighty fallen? Because they chose and followed the wrong man. In the first place, he was of the wrong tribe. In the second place, he was of the wrong character. In the third place, he was in the wrong place. And he was impaled, headless, on the wall of Beth Shan. It's rather sad, isn't it? God gave him a king in his anger. He took him away in his wrath. And then the Saul, Saul himself. He says at the end, just as the sands were running out, I have played the fool. I have played the fool. God told him by the prophet that he had been rejected, and another must take his place. But he wouldn't listen to the prophet. He would go on to the bitter end. These are the words that he said, I have played the fool. How have we been fallen in the midst of the battle? God had told him who his man was to be. In spite of the words of Jehovah, in spite of the government of Jehovah, in spite of the chastening of Jehovah, he was set on his course to the very end, the bitter end. It was bitter, wasn't it? So he says, weep over Saul, who clothed you in scarlet with other delights. He says, tell it not in Gath, publish it not in the streets of Ashkelon, lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice, lest the daughters of the uncircumcised triumph. How David had a regard for a divine testimony. And yet, it must end in spectacle on Gilboa and on the wall of Bethlehem. The spear and the bow are vilely cast away. The sword of Saul, as though he had not been anointed with oil. And I want you to mark this. He was anointed. He was. David never forgot the anointed man of God. But he was anointed with a vial. He was anointed with a vial. And you never find this word again until the wheels of retribution run their course in the book of Revelation. Right? He was anointed as the rod of Jehovah for his people. David was anointed with a horn. Horn of oil. Saul was anointed with oil. He was. But it was with a view to the government of God. David stands out. The man who was anointed with a horn for the blessing of his people. And for the magnifying of the grace of God. Thy condescending gentleness has made me glad. We come now, John. One can hardly speak. Such a touching scene as David, crushed with sorrow, considers the man who was nearest his heart. It rises up and it bubbles over. Oh, Jonathan, I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me. And then he speaks about his own. But what about Jonathan? If the people went wrong, if the monarch went wrong, where did Jonathan go wrong? Jonathan would relinquish his right to the throne. He would be prepared to follow the Lord's anointed. He would go to the field. Aye, but he wouldn't go to the cave. He wouldn't go to the wilderness. He wouldn't go to the desert. He perished. Mountains of Gilboa. It's a challenge to us. As we look at the ruin, we might ask the question, how have the mighty fallen? The thing that we are linked with, shall we say, this movement which changed the course of Christianity and sustained what was right in teaching and preaching in the beginning of the last century, when we look abroad now, we might well say, how have I made a fall in the midst of the battle? But David taught them the use of the bow. The use of the bow. You know, things we believe, the things we teach, the things we preach, are we prepared to stand for them? Are we prepared to stand for the things we claim to hold dear? It's a challenge to us, isn't it? We must contend and fight for what we believe. And this alone, is the guarantee for freedom. This has been said, this is true. And David taught them the use of the bow. David would go to the field. And he perished on the mountains of Gilboa. And he says, when he comes to that inner circle of brotherly love, he says, thy love to me was wonderful. Passing. The highest kind of love that's on our planet, passing the love of women. How are the mighty fall? The weapons will perish. The people asked and got the wrong man. Jonathan was prepared to follow so far with the right man, and the ties of nature held him to the wrong man. And it's a tragedy in the life of David, as he was clothed in sackcloth and as he sat in ashes, that Jonathan was parted from him on the mountains of Gilboa. Let us see through it there. And this is a word to thee, as much as it is a word to you. Let us see that we follow that right man.
For this, so may we freely come, whatever we have for God, the dearest of this for our love. Compare the things of God. 1 John 2, verse 1 and 3.